This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Well, the Rams are going to release Cooper Kupp after the start of the new league year, assuming that no trade materializes. Now, we've seen this before where the Jaguars were moving on from Christian Kirk. Other teams saw, and they offered a seventh-round draft pick for Christian Kirk and brought him into Houston. That happened. Maybe somebody will reach out and offer something nominal to the Los Angeles Rams for Cooper Kupp. We'll see whether that happens. But either way, if there's not a team that trades for him by this week, they will move on from him. They will release him. The legend of Cooper Kupp in L.A., a tremendous run, is coming to an end, and it'll officially be over one way or another this week with a release or a trade.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That's Adam Schefter last night on ESPN. NFL insider. We'll talk to our Patriots insider, Tommy Curran, on a Tommy Tuesday, high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get all the insight on the Patriots on day two of legal tampering in NFL free agency, which officially gets underway tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's also a Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the top and bottom positions in the NFL now that we're here in free agency. What are most important? What are least important? We'll do that again coming up about 30 minutes from now. Schefter says Kupp could still get traded if he's not released. He's going to get released on day one of the league year, which I think is Wednesday. Is that right, when free agency starts?
Yeah, tomorrow.
So there is a clock counting down. He just referenced Christian Kirk. We've talked about this a couple of times ourselves. Kirk was supposed to get released by the Jaguars. Turned out Houston finally said, "Hey, you know what? We'll give you a seventh. We'll take on the contract." So there's two elements here. You can give up an asset for Cooper Kupp and bring him in on his contract. He can always restructure, but you're going to pay the money, and he's going to have some leverage with you on the money you pay him. Plus, you're giving up an asset, even if it's a sixth or seventh round pick, a late pick swap, whatever. Or you can wait till he gets released. Roll the dice that he's going to choose you over everybody else. You're going to have the best package for Cooper Kupp in terms of compensation, but you're going to have to outmaneuver people. That's a dangerous road. If you hit it, that's a great needle to thread. You've given up no assets. You got them on your terms. That's a great needle to thread. I don't know that I fully trust the Patriots to land Cooper Kupp in that scenario, but look, they landed a bunch of players yesterday. Maybe I should give them more benefit of the doubt.
But I don't love their chances of landing him. I think you have to trade for him. I think it's a no-brainer because it's not going to be a very high pick. You just got a pick for Devon Godshaw. I know it's a future pick, but whatever. You're stockpiling draft picks for the next couple of years. You can give up one to Cooper Kupp. I don't think you win that one. Yeah, they brought in a lot of players. How many offensive players did they bring in?
Morgan Moses, Josh Dobbs, Mac Hollins.
Okay.
So no one they had.
Third quarterback.
Yep.
At best, a third receiver and probably a backup tackle. So, like, they got players, but you're not winning the Devontae Adams bidding war with other teams, because other teams will offer Kupp some money, and those other teams probably are playoff teams have a better court, more
established
quarterback.
They're going to give him a chance to win. Yeah.
And so, if he wants to say that, right, and this is a guy who has already won, but the money will probably be somewhat even everywhere. And so, even if the Patriots. We saw it with Chris Godwin, for God's sakes. Even if they offer more money, there's no guarantee. So you got to take that choice out of his hands, bring him here, then negotiate the deal, figure it out, play it up to him, the whole opportunity compensation, you're the number one receiver, all this other stuff. I don't love the chances of him hitting the open market tomorrow, and then of all the teams bidding, him saying, yes, New England makes the most sense.
So I'm with you. And if it just takes a seventh-round pick like Christian Kirk, you
do
have
it in a second.
You have your own, which who even cares? But if you did care about it, you got an extra one from the Godchow trade.
Yep.
If you're trading Joe Milton, chalk up another draft pick that's coming in.
And his contract isn't like insane where like even if you can't negotiate it, right, that you wouldn't pay him.
Well, I don't think so, but isn't the league telling you that no one wants to pay the contract because no one's trading for him?
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of time to trade for him.
But this goes back to the Patriots have to overpay. The Patriots are going to have to overpay to get a guy like that. Otherwise, you're going to see Davante Adams play somewhere else. You're going to see Chris Godwin stay in Tampa Bay. You're going to see DK Metcalf go somewhere else. Like, that's how it goes.
Beyond Cooper Kupp, and we've honed in on that name today. He's about to get released. Do you think the Patriots should trade for him? Do you think they should... or will be able to outmaneuver other teams for him? How much do you trust him? Based on Kraft spending yesterday, they landed some players all on defense, significant players anyway, all on defense. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. But you brought up Chris Godwin. Adam Schefter yesterday said Godwin left millions on the table by re-signing with the Bucs. I think Rap Sheet said it was $20 million more he left on the table. He didn't name the team. Schefter did. Schefter said the Patriots went hard on Godwin and offered him much more money than the Bucs. Ultimately, Godwin chose to stay in Tampa and sign for less. Should we take that at face value? Do you think that's a creative narrative from the Patriots? Like, they were willing to spend on defense.
So
they supposedly had the most money out for Brandon Ayuk last year. They also told us with a straight face, Robert Kraft said they had the best offer for Calvin Ridley, and it wasn't about finance. So should we take that at face value? Do we believe the Patriots had the best financial offer for Godwin and he just wanted to stay in Tampa?
So I choose to believe it this year. If they did it last year, you'd say no. Like, based on what? What are you going to fall back on? Now they could say, what are you talking about? We offered Carlton Davis more than anybody else. Got him. We offered Milton Williams more than anybody else. The guy practically signed in Carolina. We were able to swoop in, give him over $100 million. We got him. We got a bunch of other guys. We spent damn near $300 million. So why would we lie about this one? I agree. I mean, I know Schefter and Rappaport definitely can be fed information and put out what teams want them to put out. I'm aware of that. But I think in this case, it's also because it's such a glaring need and the guy is such a good player, I bet they did offer him that. And I also think he's like, I'm good. I'll stay here in Tampa.
Okay, so if we want to take it at face value, they offered the most money for Ayuk. They offered the most money for Godwin. So on the one hand, you'd say they're going to offer the most for Kupp if they want him, and we're projecting here, but if they want him, they're going to offer the most money.
But he might not choose you.
Thank you. At the same time, you've offered other receivers the most money, and you haven't got them. So taking a step back.
And both of those guys stayed with their teams, so maybe they were comfortable. They're both on good teams.
True.
I mean, the Niners had a bad year, but like they're both better teams, and they were just comfortable in their places. Whereas Cooper Kupp is not going back to the Rams.
Nope.
So there is... I guess you'd have to say a little bit better chance that you could convince him to sign with the Patriots because he's already going to have to start anew. He's going to be on his next team in the NFL. But I take all of that chance out of it and just trade for him and then figure it out, try to work out a contract.
Does any of that say anything about your quarterback, Drake May? Like, Mike Vrabel has landed players on defense, and Mike Vrabel seems like defensive players. The Patriots have to pay for them. But defensive players will take your money to come play for Mike Vrabel. On offense, there's a bit of a track record. Maybe we'll see it play out. There's a bit of a track record of guys who are not taking your money to play either for Mike Vrabel or to play with Drake May. Is there anything there?
Could be. I mean, until they sign somebody that we think is like a real stud type player, right? They got all kind of backups right now on offense. And this will be something to ask Tom Curran about because it feels like here locally, Drake May is a huge draw. Like, oh, look at this guy. They found their quarterback. And I know he didn't have the success as the team that Jaden Daniels had, but both had great rookie years. You would think guys would line up to play with Drake May more so than, you know, a Caleb Williams from a year ago. But man, we haven't seen it yet. And maybe it's just Godwin or, you know, who knows? They themselves didn't seem like they were interested in DK Metcalf. So, like, how many guys just said, no, I'm not interested? Although maybe they heard that Metcalf wasn't interested. And, like, what are all the reasons? It can't just because it was cold, because it's cold in Pittsburgh.
It's very cold in Pittsburgh. So what's their other pivot? If it's not...
So I was looking at the wide receivers, and somebody asked on the text line,
if it's not Kupp, who is it? Amari Cooper is available.
So it's a big drop-off. The next five wideouts are all old dudes who would fit the rich rules of were really good not too long ago.
Okay.
Amari Cooper, Steph Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, and Deontay Johnson.
Okay, out of those
maniac.
Out of those names, out of those five, Diggs might not be ready week one. Hopkins might be cooked. Who are some of the other ones you said?
Amari Cooper.
Keenan
Allen.
I still believe in Keenan Allen, I believe in to a degree.
He could also be Hoss of the Week. Keenan Allen looks like he ate Keenan Allen.
Deontay Johnson.
No, I can't do it. And I like a talent, and I like, you know, putting up with headaches. But like for this team, no.
Good Lord. Okay.
Deontay Johnson, no.
Number one name on that list. Who would you go with?
Probably Diggs.
Even if he's not ready week one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amari Cooper was ready all last year, and he stunk.
I know, but he was really good the year before. And so he was not great to start in Cleveland.
He was so useless in Buffalo that shakes me to the core.
That scares me less. What would scare me more is how terrible he was to start in Cleveland. Like, wide receivers switching offenses in the middle of the year, I'd give him a bit of a free pass on that. I wouldn't say don't pay any attention
to it. But I look at the quarterback. Like, if you suck with Deshaun Watson at this point, I get it. Like, who wouldn't? But then you suck with Josh Allen. Like, how's that
work? Yeah, so I'm more alarmed about his slow start, even with the crappy quarterback in Cleveland.
Like, Mac Hollins was better than Cooper in Buffalo.
Right. Mac Hollins had a whole offseason to learn the offense and do that. And so out of those five names, I don't love any of them.
Me neither.
Out of those five, I'm Cooper. We mentioned yesterday maybe we're sleeping on Steph Diggs. I dug in more on that injury. I don't think he's going to be ready for the start of the year.
What about this?
I think I'm back to out on Diggs.
What about, and we both didn't love Shime's latest mock draft, and he was talking about McMillan. And maybe not at four. He had him trading down. But based on the way free agency has gone thus far, are you more open to a wide receiver in the first round?
No. Well, in the first round, maybe. Not at four or in the top ten. Okay. No. I don't like McMillan.
No, me neither. I mean, Travis Hunter, I would say, like, can play wide out, and that's sort of different. But we've already talked about him.
I view him as a corner.
Yeah, like, straight wide outs, I still don't want in the first round.
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about moving up from 38 into the late first round, yeah. I'll take a receiver there, and I might be more open to that. But in the top ten, no. I'm not a McMillan guy. I mean, Matthew Golden, I think, has moved to the number one wide receiver on Jeremiah's board. I'm not taking him in the top 10.
No.
So if you're talking in the 20s, sure. And at 38, definitely.
Mike Williams, Tyler Lockett, Elijah Moore, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman.
This is terrible.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Okay.
Brandon Cook.
Let's look at some of the... I'm sorry, Brandon Cook?
Cooks.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, wait,
lost the S.
I wanted a singular.
I was like, is there another Brandon Cook I'm unaware of?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He had that streak last year, didn't he, where he had like a million touchdowns?
Yes.
Did he play for Vrabel?
Until he was in the Bozo touchdown parlay. He played in Tennessee. I don't know if he actually played for Vrabel or not, but probably, so. Yeah.
He's been there for a couple years.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, he for sure played for Vrabel. Yeah, he's been there for five seasons. So
you know, if it's
that's what they'll get.
Mac Hollins and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as like your 3 and 4, I'm okay.
Nine touchdowns last year.
I'm okay with that, but you still need Cup and somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the A.J. Brown dream, perhaps? Okay, or is there another receiver out there? And sometimes it can happen overnight, where right now everybody is living great and everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden some receiver is going to be like, I don't want to be here anymore. It's like, you just signed a contract, and then they want out.
So
between now and the draft, could there be a receiver that we haven't even talked about that wants to leave
A.J. Brown got traded at the draft. Hollywood Brown got traded at the draft. Like, that was all that same year. And Hollywood Brown
Brandon
maybe...
Cooks got traded at the draft.
Thank you. So like,
Brandon Cooks has been traded like so many times.
He has been. And so
many times.
Like, sorry, Brandon Cook.
Guys get traded on draft night for sure. And like, Pickens is a name we've I've been talking about George Pickens since long before DK Metcalf even went to Pittsburgh. I think they're sick of him. And so I think there's a real chance he moves. AJ Brown is a name that you've brought up a bunch, Keith, that maybe not, is still in play.
He might be.
Like, other trade options, maybe Chris Olave, you know, maybe still Ayuk, but realistic names. On free agency, it's already pretty picked over. And so if you sign Amari Cooper and Cooper Kupp. Amari Cooper Kupp.
That'd be my fantasy team name.
All of a sudden, those are two professional receivers. But
before and after.
But like, one had a terrible year and the other's been hurt for three straight years.
Oh, they should have just drafted Ladd McConkey. That would have been better. I'm looking at the top receivers. They should have just drafted him.
He was right there. And
instead of trading out of that spot, and getting two scrubs, they should have just taken him.
That would have been the way to do it.
That I would have preferred.
That would have been a better move.
A lot better. All right, what about Jacoby Myers?
That's another option.
Feels
via
somewhat
trade.
Inevitable.
Okay, Kupp and Myers.
you're an NFL team, I guess.
Yeah.
I like that.
Would you rather Kupp and Meyers than Kupp and Cooper? I probably would.
Yes, actually, I would.
I just said Kupp and Cooper, so yeah.
I would. Jacoby Meyers, Cooper Kupp, you're not going to, you know, be a top five offense, but it's a huge upgrade from what it was a year ago. At least Drake May would have some stability. I don't know if either one are really, like, game breakers, but good players who will catch the ball. Last year, that was a big issue. And they'll stay in bounds. They'll run the right route. Like, I'm in on those guys.
617-779-7937. Kraft finally spent for the first time since 2021. You think this is a new reality, Kiefer, or is this another shot in the arm like 2021 where they spent that year $250 million? This year they're spending or trending in that very same direction. We'll see what else they do here. But is this a one-off shot in the arm, or is this the new reality?
Well, the history of the Patriots would kind of suggest it's sort of a one-off for now. It doesn't mean they'll never do it again, but I feel like they spend big. I think, was it Kraft or Belichick? Did they both talk about this? They're on the record being like, you sort of like spend and then you have to like reset the books for like your future for like 3 years and then you can go up again.
That was Robert.
It was Robert did. So I think they'll probably spend again in 2028. Like that's kind of my guess. Now, you know, what will be interesting is some of the re-signings, because you remember, sort of jumping around here a little bit, but when they didn't re-sign Darrell Revis, which ended up being a good call because he ended up getting just like out of shape and wasn't very good anymore, but they brought him in one and done, and there was talk about keeping him or whatever, and they didn't, and they pointed to, well, we have all these guys. We got Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Malcolm Butler, and there was
Chandler
one other.
Jones.
And Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Malcolm Butler, and there's one other one. But anyway, like we got to re-sign all these guys. And they only re-signed Hightower. They traded Jones. We know what happened with Malcolm Butler. And man, I forget. There was one other guy. And you're like, what the hell? Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
And so.
Right. The logic sounded good when they let Revis go, but then they paid basically none of those
that. Well, so now we're in a different spot where Christian.
Twitch chat. Yeah. Credit to Clappy Cheeks 10, as always.
Oh, hell yeah. Jamie Collins. So they traded him, too. So they had all these young guys on that 14 defense that were awesome. And they really only kept one.
And didn't they let Hightower basically walk and then he came back?
Yes, he did the thing where he tested it. I figure it was Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was Pittsburgh. They offered him this, then they went and they gave him the same deal or whatever. Similar like Devin McCourty, I think, prior to that. But Christian Gonzalez and Drake May are both at least trending towards monster contracts.
Yeah.
They haven't had to pay like their own guys monster deals in a while.
No, we all celebrated the Barmore contract, which is nice and I think worth it. But that's going to pale in comparison to these.
But these two are going to be insane. I mean, if they're still good, and then from there, I am curious what they do. How do they surround those guys?
J.C. Horn just got 4 years, $100 million, $25 million AAV, passing Patrick Surtain. Like that's the floor for Gonzalez.
Because I am nervous about
there's
that.
Actually, a lot of corners going to get paid this year too. So Sauce Gardner's up this year.
So numbers going up.
Everything's coming up Gonzo right now. But if you're not paying $25 million wide receivers, and I'm not saying they didn't try with Godwin, but just right now they don't have one of those guys. If you're not paying that while Drake May is on his rookie deal, how are you going to do that when he's making $50 million? Like that concerns me, but that's also down the road.
So I'm with you. I don't think it's the new reality, but I'm happy it's the reality for this offseason. They needed it. They needed it the last couple of years. They didn't do it, and they're finally getting around to doing it now. Some other news today in the NFL. Vikings signed Jonathan Allen, 3 years, $60 million. Javon Holland is a top 10 free agent off the board. He goes to the New York Giants. Otherwise, it's been pretty slow out there all day long. One of the bigger signings recently is Daniel Jones going to the Colts to compete with Anthony Richardson. The Eagles made another deal. They traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
To the Texans.
To Houston. And then they got a lineman back.
So those are kind of the most significant moves out there today.
The Texans couldn't keep C.J. Stroud upright, so they're getting rid of all of his offensive linemen.
Seems like a bold strategy.
Well, I feel a little vindicated on this. Now, C.J. Stroud was worse last year, but I spent all offseason arguing with Curran, among other people, about all the pieces the Texans had and how the Texans improved overnight. And it wasn't just about adding the quarterback and C.J. Stroud. That was a big discussion last offseason, similar to how Jaden Daniels is a big discussion this offseason, and how the quarterback changed and everything changed. And it's like, well, Washington did have Terry McLaurin, and it's like, they did. They also sucked with Terry McLaurin. Like, the quarterback changed it all. And I said the same thing last offseason about Houston, and I always got Laramie Tunsil this and Laramie Tunsil that, and oh, he was so great. They couldn't protect Stroud last year. He went for, I don't feel like, a haul at all. It was a bunch of picks.
Tunsil? No.
But it was a 2 and a 3 is basically what it came down to.
Right.
And so, yeah, I feel like he's been a little overrated here and a little overrated for the work that Houston did. in their offseason in the past. But, yeah, it's been a light day so far on day two of legal tampering would be my only point there. Haven't seen a ton of movement. Cam Robinson.
It was busy yesterday, though. It was very active yesterday.
Well, and this is, you know, about when it picked up yesterday. Well, this is about when it opened yesterday, I should say.
True.
About 45 minutes from now. So Cam Robinson's still out there. Cooper Kupp should be out there soon. Those seem like the top names on the board. What'll the Patriots do? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. I just mentioned Curran. We'll talk to him at high noon. Get all the latest intel on the Patriots in free agency with it set to officially start tomorrow at 4 o'clock. A lot of tampering going on. In the meantime, we have a Key for Madness at 12:45. Don't forget, Jones and Keith Brackett. We have 6-11 matchups today. I've already seen the football region. I believe the hockey region was out there as well. So you can vote at Jones and Keith on Twitter. You can see the full bracket at Jones and Keith on Twitter and Instagram. Follow along there. We'll keep you up to speed on that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keefe.
Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll tier off the most important and least important positions in the NFL coming up momentarily. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran high noon, Jones and Keefe bracket, raging on our March Madness uniform bracket. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. You can see the full bracket at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and on Instagram. A real quick Bruins update before we get to tiers.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Paul Bissonnette, you're going to hear this later on this hour. Had some intel on Marchand's contract. I think we were right around it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
We're sniffing all around it.
But turns out he wants a lot more than the contract he was getting the last 8 years from the Bruins. Number two, is Marchand going to play tonight?
He's on the ice skating around. Florida Panthers are in town, and he's having a little bit of a skate.
So He is out there on the ice. He talked to the media yesterday, which I should have verbalized this at the time. I'm like, boy, that's interesting.
I know.
For a guy who's may not be back for 3 or 4 weeks is what you were hearing at the deadline.
They were like, oh, he may not be ready until right before the playoffs.
Huh. All of a sudden, he's out there doing interviews, and now he's taking line rushes with Barkov and Verhaeghe. Unfortunately, I mean, I know Tkachuk is out.
I want the Sam Bennett line.
I know Tkachuk is out, but right, I was hoping he'd play with Bennett as well. But like,
is he playing tonight?
There's a chance he's playing tonight.
That adds a little bit of
juice. The insider over there. What do you got? You got ear to the ground on anything?
I'll wait for Courtney's report on it.
Okay, hashtag Scoops Key. If you hear anything, let us know. Yeah. Is Marchand going to play? I legitimately wonder.
He's having a skate.
By the way, maybe, just maybe, he wasn't as hurt as we were led to believe.
It's possible.
Like, I'm hurt playing for the Bruins, but all of a sudden I'm a Panther. I'll be back there pretty quick.
You see it in sports all the time.
Huh.
Yeah. NBA guys, NFL guys. Was it DeAndre Hopkins recently? There's a few guys like, are you hurt? No, yeah, I'm hurt. It's like, you're on a new team. Let's go.
Good one.
Let's take the field.
Hopkins is a good one. Luka's a good one. Like, I can't play for the Mavericks, but all of a sudden he's a Laker and he's right back out there. Weird.
Marchand was so hurt.
Huh?
Out there playing for the Panthers right now.
Interesting. Oh, this is good on Twitch. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Boots on the ground.
Terp has put up the video from Scott. Marchand on the ice at the Garden. First time as a Panther. Will he play tonight?
Oof.
We'll monitor that all day long. But it is a tier Tuesday, Keith. What do we got for tiers today?
We're going to do NFL positions. We're going to tier the positions. I think one's obviously is pretty obvious. What do you mean?
It's a Kama Sutra tier Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
This one, they're both standing. All right, so this one is going to be pretty simple. We have the GOAT tier at the top.
The GOAT!
Next tier down, and I don't want to tip our hand here, Hoss. Doesn't mean the players themselves are Hosses, but just a Hoss.
Yeah, for your roster.
Yeah.
It's a Hoss on your roster.
Third one down is Cat in the Grass.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
So these are the ones that you're like.
I was bracing for Frisky there. I like that.
Maybe a little underrated, right? Kind of Cat in the Grass. Maybe really useful. Not the top, but like, hey, watch out for this position. The next one down, Sheep. It's a position on the field. Got to fill it out.
They're a passenger. They're just kind of along for the ride. Yeah.
Bottom tier would be Goldfish.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
And the thing with this is it's a just a dime a dozen. You know, you can flush it down the toilet. You get a new one. Just go to the store, get a
Win
new one.
Win one at a carnival.
Thank you. You get one. Well, I was just going to say, Billy, you get one at the circus. Uh-huh. You bring it home. It dies 2 days later. You flush it. You get another one. It's a goldfish.
So okay. I think right now, five. Now, it's always fluid. We can add. We can subtract. Whatever you want to do. But right now, we have five tiers, all animal-related for NFL positions.
Okay.
All right.
Quarterback.
All right, right off the rip. I feel like there's a good chance it might be alone here.
I mean, quarterback.
See the money Sam Darnold just got?
Yeah, $100 million, right?
Yeah.
So it needs to be on its own tier.
Correct.
If we want to put something above GOAT, that doesn't make any sense. So, I would put quarterback on GOAT. I can't imagine anything else is there.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Daniel Jones going to the Colts. $14
million. That's $14
million.
Every time Anthony Richardson gets tired, he's going to get plugged into the game.
He does get tired.
Yeah, he gets very fatigued.
You got to put somebody else in there.
Very fatigued. That's true.
All right.
Running back.
All right. My initial thought is years ago, this might have been more goldfish.
It's Cat in the Grass? Goldfish. Okay, so that's where I want to put it.
I kind of want to put it in Cat in the Grass.
You're leaping from
goldfish. Don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Leaping from goldfish over Sheep. I wanted to put a Cat in the Grass. I thought we were going to argue about
this. I think Saquon Barkley kind of has helped raise the entire position.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs moved last year.
More.
Mixon was a good move.
Yeah.
Like last year, running backs made a comeback last year. Cat in the Grass.
Cat in the Grass for running backs.
Nice.
Look at that.
Fullbacks.
All right. Ooh. Well, this might be more goldfish. Not every team even uses one.
That's a goldfish.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
I know Andy Hart rolling over his grave right now.
T's and P's to Andy Hart.
Yeah.
And look, I would like them to sign Kyle Juszczyk. Doesn't mean you don't have one on the roster, but it's pretty replaceable and you can flush that thing right down the dump.
Right down the toilet.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Hoss.
Oh,
it's Hoss.
You can make a GOAT argument.
No.
No? All right.
No, I mean, it might be the next most important after the GOAT position.
There was a long layoff there for, like, Michael Irvin won a bunch of Super Bowls, and obviously Jerry Rice won Super Bowls, but then there was a long layoff from, like, stud receivers winning. But I think over the last few years, you know, like, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, you know, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, like big time receivers have been a big part of teams winning Super Bowls. So that's kind of come back around. Cause I always would defend receivers and talk them up.
You have Kupp on your list?
And Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
So big time receivers have really also swayed teams winning the whole thing. Where there's a stretch, point. Like
for
Randy Moss, T.O.
No,
I love
a long time. You win. Say, who was the best receiver and did they win a Super Bowl with them? Actually, now that has kind of swung back. All right,
the 07 thing killed me.
So you're saying it's higher on the Haas tier, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Haas.
Yeah.
Maybe top Haas.
You don't like to break down within the tiers. You usually say that's just the power ranking.
That's what you like to do.
But I would like to put it to the top of the Haas tier.
Sure.
All right.
Take it up a Terp. He's going to be working the graphics.
Tight ends.
Ooh. Sheep?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's a not a goldfish necessarily. There's not a lot of great ones in the league. So if you have like a Brock Bowers or Sam Laporta, that's sort of one thing. But most teams just have a guy. Like, the Patriots are fine with Hunter Henry.
Would you rather have a guy at running back or a guy at tight end?
I'd rather have a guy at running back.
Me too, but I think we're going to be in the minority.
Well, locally, because we saw Gronk play for so many years, people might be swayed. But I think more – if you don't have Gronk, who's some people's goats, not your goat, but some people's goats.
No, hasn't been for a year plus.
If you have Gronk, you're going to take Gronk. But I think you have a better chance of having an impactful running back than you do tight end.
Yeah, I bet we're going to get flack on that, but I agree with you. I'd rather have a running back than a tight end. More important, running backs are cats on the grass, which makes tight end sheep.
Tackles.
All right, so of note here, we're going to split up the offensive line. We're not jumbling up offensive line as one position. So tackles?
Haas.
Haas. Yeah, I think it's got to be Haas.
Were you thinking lower?
No, I think it's Haas.
It's Haas.
But I'm with you. If it were a power ranking, which it is not
within the tier, wide receiver over tackle at the Haas position. Yes.
But I can't argue with it. We saw it firsthand last year how important tackle or a bad tackle can impact your squad. So
it's a Haas.
Yeah.
Gods. Offensive guards.
Thank you, Bill. I was like, what the hell? New position?
God position.
Where would you put gods?
You're
saying gourds?
I would put god sheep. Sheep?
I feel like, the Patriots
I didn't mean to say that last time, actually. I would put guard, I'm sorry, as sheep, yes.
They grabbed a wrestler and won multiple Super Bowls with him. Like, you should be able to find guards, which is why I lost my mind when they drafted Cole Strange in the first round. So I'll say guards, sheep as well.
Okay, nice. I'm with you. Look at us, not a lot of arguing here.
Yeah.
Center.
You're Hakeem Olajuwon, you're Dikembe Mutombo, you're Patrick Ewing.
Also sheep?
So, is it more cat in the grass? It's just because they usually are the ones.
If it were a power ranking, I would put center over guard.
Are they the ones sort of calling everything out, though, a lot of times?
They are. They're
but
still
you think
sheep.
They're pretty inappropriate.
You notice a bad center over a bad guard.
Yeah,
you do.
But I'll still put it down there.
Okay,
I'm good with that.
All right, to the other side of the ball, defensive tackle.
So, the Pats just spent a lot of money on a D-tackle. So, this is really the whole porpoise of this exercise. How important is D-tackle?
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Cat in the grass?
At best, it's cat in the grass. At best.
I am
leaning sheep, but I can be swayed. How would you vote, Keith? Maybe Billy will break the tie if we have a tie.
Cat in the grass. Yeah, I think I'll go cat in the grass.
Okay.
I think you can, like, and I know I'm going to the extreme, but if you have, like, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, you can kind of wreck a game. So I'll go cat in the grass.
Billy?
I'll take cat in the grass.
Sorry. Okay. I've been outvoted.
You like that?
Cat
Democracy.
In the grass. Cat in the grass, D-tackle.
Yep.
That's overreacting to Milt the Stilt is what that is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
It might be.
I'm excited about this.
What's next?
Edge rusher.
Haas? That's a Haas.
You got to have a Haas.
That's a Haas.
Haas on the edge.
Nice thoroughbred getting after the quarterback.
So that sort of takes you like, we're not doing outside linebacker or D-end. Because teams run different schemes.
Well, exactly. That's scheme specific. So, edge.
Linebacker.
I would put that cat in the grass.
So, same. Okay. I think linebacker, running back.
We like the run game, Keith.
100 years ago, linebacker, running back were maybe the two most important.
Yeah.
Then there's nosedive where nobody gave a rat's ass. They're both kind of on the come up.
Yeah.
I don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Yeah, this is an off-the-ball linebacker.
What is that from?
That's that coach
at Coastal Carolina.
Coach. Yeah,
oh.
He lost
his mind over guys wearing, like, armbands.
Imagine that guy coaching, like, Tristan Casas.
Yeah, seriously.
He'd just be like, what?
No, you and I agree. Linebackers are
we like the run game, Keith.
Yeah, we do.
You know what?
Smash mouth football. Old Big Ten football.
Yeah, Jeremiah Trotter.
Tyrone
chopping wood.
Wheatley. Yeah. I like a Tim Biakabatuka. Kajana Carter, run between the tackles.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, so linebacker, cat in the grass. I'm happy we agree. Good. Next.
Cornerback.
That's a Haas.
Oh, got to be Haas. Yeah, got to be Haas.
Pats have two Haases now.
That's why I like that signing so much.
Yeah.
It's an important position.
Double Haas. Good work.
Yep.
Safeties.
Okay, I want to hear you first on this. I love a good safety. I'm voting Kat McGrath.
I would say Sheep.
Okay.
Now, I think there are like high level safeties. I do think though the way the game has gone, it's hard to be like an intimidating, knock your head off type of safety.
Mm-hmm.
This is the position that I think is maybe most impacted by like the rules today. Like when Rodney Harrison was killing, even Rodney Harrison was getting fined, but like Rodney Harrison was killing people, or Brian Dawkins or Steve Atwater. I loved the safety then. Now, I don't know. They're forced to be in coverage so much, and they're usually, some of them aren't great at it. So I think it's more Sheep.
Okay.
If you want to go Cat in the Grass.
I'm voting Cat in the Grass, Billy.
Cat in the Grass.
Right.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kicker.
So kicker should be at least Sheep.
Okay.
At least. We need to denote the difference between...
Well, because the Pats, a couple years ago, remember when they went through like four different guys before they landed on Nick Folk?
Yeah.
That's a tough go. If you don't have a kicker, that is a hard... Yeah. So it's not quite as interchangeable as you think, or as maybe some of these other positions are.
Yeah, it's not the most important on the team, but we should denote it's not a bottom-tier position. Yeah. The kicker has a little more import than fullback or this next position.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
You want a cat in the grass?
No,
kicker?
Nick just wanted
to
play
the middle one, isn't it?
Huh?
Isn't the kicker the middle one?
Nah, Sheep.
Sheep. No. Cat in the grass is the middle tier.
I thought that's where you were putting it.
No, we're putting it Sheep. Yeah, we're putting it Sheep.
Sheep.
Yeah. That's where
there it is. There it is, Nick.
Love that. Yeah.
Punters.
Goldfish.
That's a goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish.
Swap. It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
So if you look at it, I think we broke it down pretty perfectly. Top tier, the GOAT quarterback. On its own.
Makes sense.
Haas tier, wide receiver, offensive tackle, edge, and corner.
I would say perfect so far.
Yes.
We're starting to lose me a little bit with Cat in the Grass.
All right, Cat in the Grass tier, running back,
mm-hmm.
D tackle,
mm-hmm.
linebacker,
yep.
safety.
Okay.
Sheep, tight end, guard, center, kicker.
You know what? I like these tiers now that
it's
we've talked
bad.
About. In my estimation, we were a little too high on a D tackle, but other than that, I like these.
Yeah, and then goldfish would be fullback punter.
Perfect.
Yeah.
A borderline perfect tier Tuesday.
I like it.
So based on how the Patriots did it, they did sign one at the GOAT position, Josh Dobbs. They did sign one at wide receiver.
Three Hosses.
Yeah, wide receiver.
Mac Hollins, Haas, Carlton Davis, and Harold Landry.
And Moses.
Oh, Moses tackle.
One each.
Wow.
Haas.
They got him everywhere.
Cat in the Grass, their biggest signing. With Milton Williams, also Spillane.
Yep.
And then, nothing on the Sheep tier.
No.
And nothing on the Gulf. Good, they're avoiding our bottom two tiers.
Makes sense.
I like free agency more.
They're doing a great job.
I actually don't know if they have a kicker signed right now, so.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point.
They kind of do need one of those Sheep tiers.
Yeah. Well, it's Sheep. It's not goldfish. It's Sheep.
We're doing good.
So you can weigh in on your thoughts on our tiers, 617-779-7937. We'll put those out on social at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. You can also vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket. We'll update that, and we'll give you the latest on Brad Marchand, his situation, the contract he wanted in Boston, and he's on the ice today, getting ready for a game tonight at TD Garden. Will he play against the Bruins? We'll get to it next.
Offers exactly what he's making now for 3 years.
Yeah, I heard 6'6" 3 times 3.
Exactly what he's making now, and Marshawn's camp wanted 7.5, and Marshawn had a meeting with Don Sweeney, and he went in, and he said, I love it here. I've been a Bruin my entire career. I'm willing to meet you guys in the middle, and they would not come up on their offer. I thought that was insane. You wouldn't give Brad Marchand the same amount that you paid Lindholm. That's crazy to me.
Paul Bissonnette on the Spit and Chicklets podcast. Marchand wanted $7.5 million.
Okay.
That aligns with what we said yesterday.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman said Marchand was not going to take a pay cut from the 6 and change he was making. DJ Bean, our good pal, said on Friday night when I was on TV, brag.
Wow.
That they were maybe getting cute with 6.3 for 63. His number, that was the AAV they were toying around
with.
It's
cute, but it's also not insulting. $6.3 million isn't like, here's $3 million to finish your career, which were some of the initial reports.
Tell me if I'm sitting on the fence.
Okay.
I don't think it's insulting, but I also don't blame Marchand for what Bissonnette just said.
No, same.
He looks at Lindholm and he goes, you're getting what?
So here's where they screwed up.
And they're paying McAvoy and Pastrnak and Swayman and that oaf Zadorov. They're paying all these guys. How about you pay me?
I already gave you
a discount for 8 years out of the last 10.
True.
I already gave you a massive discount. So I don't think the Bruins are insulting, but I also get him saying,
sure.
I want more money. You guys owe me more, not less. I'm not taking a haircut.
No, but I think what happened was Sweeney has signed a bunch of team-friendly deals, and I think now all of a sudden it's going the other way, and I think they're shocked by it. I think Neely and Sweeney are. The Swayman thing took way longer than they certainly expected it to. If they really wanted Marchand, if they really wanted Marchand at that price, these negotiations should have started before you signed Lindholm. Because Lindholm, it was free agency. Guys always get more money in free agency than they probably deserve. Both Lindholm and Zadorov are making a ton of money. If you were worried about that, because the way this thing all played out is Swayman was negotiating pretty publicly in the offseason, in the lead up to it. It was asking for a ton of money, way more money than Marchand was making. Then they make a splash in free agency, and they bring in a guy like Lindholm. Before he even played a game with the Bruins, you're thinking, all right, that's another guy now making more than Marchand. And as the season plays out, he's not living up to his contract. So not only that are you saying you're going to pay this guy, but he's not even doing anything.
Right.
So now if you're going to circle back to me throughout the season, you know, Marchand's having a good year. I wouldn't say it's like an unbelievable year, but he's having a good, solid year.
He's having a representative year for his career.
Yeah.
He's been, I don't know, the second best forward you have on the team.
And if the cap is going up, which it is, then he's probably thinking like, all right, I'm not even taking like a giant percentage of the cap. I just want to get paid more than Lindholm. Like, I think he's not asking for more money than Pastrnak is making or McAvoy or even Swayman, who I think really bothered him the way everything played out this offseason. But it kind of dates back to the free agent signings and the Swayman negotiation, and Marchand kind of pushed to the side, like it wasn't really a priority, and maybe they took it for granted, like, oh, we can get them. And then they got to the point where it's funny, both sides are claiming that they really wanted to stay together, and yet he's skating around for Florida today.
So here's the deal. Marchand wanted a raise. Marchand wasn't going to take a pay cut. He wanted a raise, probably something like 3 years, 7.5, 4 years, 7.5. Biz said 7.5. We were guessing yesterday somewhere between 7 and 8. The Bruins were probably somewhere around 3.63, and they weren't going to budge off that. And he came back at the last moment, and he's like, guys, let's negotiate. And it's like, no, Brad, we've been trying to negotiate for 6 months, 8 months, year, whatever it's been.
Trade deadline coming up.
We told you the number. That's as far as we're going to go. We got ownership to approve the third year. We're not going to meet you in the middle now. You're gone. And so Marchand pouted and forced their hand. Now he's a Florida Panther, and now today he's on the ice taking line rushes with Barkov and Verhaeghe.
Yeesh.
Apparently, and we have boots on the ground at Warrior. Apparently, he wasn't taking any contact today. So who knows if he's going to play. But Paul Maurice scheduled to talk shortly. Brad Marchand scheduled to speak after that. So we may have some answers. There's an outside chance he's playing tonight.
How about that?
For a guy who wasn't supposed to play for another 3 or 4 weeks, wasn't going to be out there. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the team that knocked you out of the playoffs the last 2 years.
New teams have that way of healing players.
The cup-winning a year plus ago, Florida Panthers.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Last year? Now everything's running together. Last year. They knocked you out 2 years ago. They knocked you out again last year. They win the cup last year. And now all of a sudden, whoops, I'm feeling better. And he's going to play potentially against you tonight at the Garden?
Crazy.
How about that?
Yeah.
So again, not taking contact. We'll see if he's actually in there. Maybe we're overreacting to it. I didn't expect to see him skating around at the Garden in a Florida sweater today.
Also, and I know a lot of fans are pissed because I guess they would have paid Marchand whatever he wanted, right? There's a section of fans that are like, give him whatever he wants and keep him, and he should always be on this team. He also wanted to go to Florida. Like, that was his
thing.
That's
what he approved.
Like, Sweeney and Neely worked with him to go where he wanted to. They said, hey, look, we got to do what's best for the team. We're adding picks and some players, and we need to retool and rebrand, basically. We need to start fresh. So we're going to move on from you. And they could have sent him to, I don't know, other team. He had an 8-team no-trade clause. So he could have, they had options, it feels like. And he says, no, I want to play for Florida. I want to play for the rival. I want to play for the team that everybody up here hates. So they sent him there.
Maybe it wasn't just all sunshine and lollipops and he really wanted to be back, but oh well, he got dealt out. I mean, the guy got traded, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So I imagine there's some animosity and bad blood. He wanted more money. He stamped his feet. Now he's a Florida Panther. So maybe he was bitter about it. Maybe he forced their hand on it. And that's certainly the way it feels. Will he play tonight at the Garden? We'll find that out. We'll keep our eyes on it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. We do have some feedback on our tiers, Keefe. at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
What do we got?
People wanted a long snapper.
Son of a gun.
We forgot about long snapper.
We did forget about
long
snapper.
People also wanted backup quarterback.
Backup quarterback?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Backup quarterback, cat in the grass or sheep. Long snapper. Sheep. Guys, you forgot long snapper. It's Bill Belichick texting
that's
us.
That's true.
Is what it is.
I think I'm going to have to put up my own tiers.
So shame on us for that. You can go to at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram to see our tiers every Tier Tuesday. You can also vote in the latest Jones and Keefe bracket. All the 6-11 matchups are on Twitter. You can find the full bracket on Twitter and Instagram. At Jones and Keefe, continue to vote there. Powder Blue continues to be dominant early on.
It really is. There's a theme here.
Dare I say undefeated early on, but continue to vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket, March Madness uniform bracket all month long. It is not only a Tier Tuesday, it's Tommy Tuesday. We'll check in with Tommy Curran for all the latest at Patriots Free Agency next.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.